known. Oklahoma State graduate is joining us now on the Revolution Hotline, and he is waiting patiently for an opportunity to get on the course. Good morning, Josh. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
I'm fine. It's dry here in Fayetteville.
No, I'm sure it's dry in the studio there. First off, hi, Leslie, my wife, and happy birthday to my son, Walker. He's 9 weeks old today.
Oh, you're sweet. See, look at that.
Yeah,
see,
yes, I am.
We were just talking about Phil Mickelson.
It's not raining here. Right now. Well, see, Phil's got like 2 G5 planes.
Yeah.
And it's a little easier to travel in a G5 than it is my Ford rental car.
Yes, I understand. Well, I'm assuming if you bring home a chunk of Edward Lohr's check after you guys win the U.S. Open, all will be forgiven.
I'm going straight to Landers.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, you can go to any one of the fine stores there in Benton, Arkansas. You're right on your way back. So,
all right, buddy, what you want to know?
What's the situation right now? I mean, how bad is the weather? What are they telling you? I understand they've announced that play is going to resume within the hour. What's the situation for you all?
Well, we were originally at 2:09, so there's a three-hour. I just got done text with one of the rules officials here, who actually is the head rules official on the web.com tour. He's an old friend of mine from North Carolina, and we are 3 hours and 34-minute delay on our afternoon time, so that makes us 5:45 or something is our afternoon tea time now. But more rain and weather is supposed to come in. Now, this course, contrary to what anybody tells you, is not it drains pretty good, but it's not, you know, the couple low spots is what causes the whole thing to stop. So right now they're trying to clear off, like, number 11 and number 11 alone just to get play going again.
Is it the heavy rain? Is there lightning? What's the storm like right now?
I feel like I'm in the eye of the storm. It's not there's not a breath of wind, not a drop of rain. It's kind of eerie. It's super quiet. About an hour ago, I couldn't believe I had power on the TV. I'm standing at a buddy's house and couldn't believe I had power on the TV.
That's crazy. So, I mean, best bet, maybe you get 9 holes in today?
Oh, no, we won't get that many in. This course is, you know, they talk about 4 hours, 30 minutes to play around the golf around here. When I got into town Sunday, I went out and just walked and looked around myself. It took me longer than that just to walk it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The guys that are most likely, it's the USGA, so we'll be out there and be ready to play type of thing. Mm-hmm. But the guys that started this morning, they're just hoping to get done with their 18 today. So it's looking like a 36-holer tomorrow for us.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, and I was going to ask, too. I mean, you're a player and not as accomplished as the guys that will be playing in the U.S. Open this weekend, but you certainly understand the issues there. But I'm wondering, and I feel terrible for the guys that got out. And, you know, you look at a guy like Ian Poulter, who was 3-under through 3, and then they pull him off the course. And, you know, for James Lohr, who you're going to be caddying for, I mean, you guys go out there and you maybe squeeze in 4 or 5 holes, if even that. And then you're pulled off the course. I mean, that, you know, from a player's standpoint, it's got to be tough mentally to know you could be taken off the course at any time, and also to try to, you know, I mean, it's almost like you wonder if it's even worth to go out there and play a couple 3 holes.
Well, and that's the thing is, excuse me, Edward. He goes by Edward Lohr, but he says, you know, for him personally, and I feel like most of the guys as well. I know it was me when I was playing and everything. The starting and stopping is. There isn't much more annoying than that as far as tournament golf goes. And, you know, Edward, I mean, he's got his wife. The triplets are at home, so he's got his wife here, his dad, his mom. I mean, I met about 15 cousins yesterday. I mean, you know, he's got enough family to keep him busy until 6 o'clock tonight. So if we could start today, great. If not, it's not really a big thing. Going 36, I mean, we've done it plenty of other times. It's not really that big a deal.
So tell me about Edward Lohr. I guess you were telling me he's second on the web.com tour right now. How'd you two get hooked up?
You know, it was funny. Through a friend last year, actually. He was on tour last year and was kind of having a very poor year, really. I guess a friend, you know, I was kind of looking to move away from the guy I was caddying for, and then Edwards was looking to switch it up, so we actually met, had dinner one night, kind of talked it out, and, you know, we started in Vegas last year at the Justin Timberlake tournament, and then we've been together ever since. I had a good run. I think we've only missed like one or two, maybe two cuts together, so it's been a nice little run, and this year has been especially good as far as that web.com is. I mean, the money out there is so poor that, you know, to have made 220-some thousand or whatever in only a 10-week deal is just a phenomenal year.
This may sound like a stupid question, but you know me well enough to know I've asked stupid questions before. He's a lefty. Anything from your standpoint to do different, or anything that makes it different from a guy who's not? I mean, is that odd or strange or different?
No, totally. Yeah, and yes, you ask a lot of stupid questions for starters.
Thank you.
But
appreciate that.
Totally, in the sense that all left-handers, okay, if you start at the top and you go down, you say, you know, Phil, Bubba, all the guys that are left-handed, everyone that I've ever met, even down to Philip Mollica, who plays on the web.com as well, lefties can curve the ball twice as much as a right-hander. So, you know, sometimes the shot may look a little bit odd for me as a right-hander. You know, if I'm trying to do this, what are we going to, you know, I got to take double out of play, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit easier for a left-hander to pull some crazy shots off. He even says to me, Edward says to me, he says, you may want to let me be left-handed on this shot. You know what I mean? So it's, as I'm trying to steer him to safety and let's make bogey at the worst, he's thinking, you know, maybe I can squeeze it through that gap and let's just give her a whirl.
And he's a pretty tall fella too, right?
Oh, he's a beast.
So what do you think?
Yeah,
I mean, he's playing well, and a lot of people don't know him. I mean, I didn't even know he went by Edward until this morning. But you know, is he a guy you feel like can contend this week? Does he have a game that you feel like sets up okay for Marion?
I did when it was super firm and fast. He hits an absolute moon ball. I mean, he hits it straight up in the air. So, you know, firm and super fast greens was really to his benefit. I mean, you know, he can hit a four iron coming to the moon, so he could get it coming down a lot softer than most of the guys. Now, with the softer conditions today and tomorrow, I mean, who knows? I feel like guys are going to shoot 3 and 4 under. I think it's a toss-up. I mean, he's long enough to where, yeah, we should be able to tear up holes 7 through 13 pretty easy, and then you just really kind of try to hang on for those last five. Those last five holes are five of the toughest I've ever seen.
Wow. Yeah, the 18th being like, what is it, a 520-yard par 4, it's a little
scary.
Oh,
that's just stupid. I mean, that's just that's typical USGA ruining a perfectly good hole.
Josh Dickinson caddying in the U.S. Open, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. We'll let you go here in a second. I was just going to ask about lift, clean, and place. Sounded like they are dead set that that's not going to happen no matter what the conditions are. Is that what you guys are being told?
Yes. Typical USGA again. They just, you know, the traditions of the game, you know, blah, blah. It's the same crap with that anchoring the putter. I mean, it's just so stupid. It's actually comical. They wouldn't let the guys move the ball. I mean, if it benefited the USGA, they wouldn't let them move the ball. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's wild. But they, you know, once you start a round in any tournament, USGA or PGA Tour or whatever it is, once you start a round playing the ball down, you cannot change the rules midway.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, no matter how long it takes to finish this first round, well, we're all playing it down.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't run into too much mud.
I hope not, buddy. I'm already on my third pair of shoes for the week, so I'm going to need a loan.
Oh,
anybody listening?
Well, you know what? Baby needs a new pair of shoes, so bring home a winner, my man. Good luck to you.
That's right.
You and Mr. Lohr this week. We hope you guys have a good run at the U.S. Open, and I look forward to getting together at some point when you get some downtime.
All right. You got it, Justin. Anytime, buddy.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, man. Bye.
All right. It's Josh Dickinson, who is unfortunately not very honest, but maybe next time we can get him in studio, he can speak his mind. So how about that? Yeah, it's
awesome.
I'm sure the players – I mean, here's my only deal, and I never liked this. And actually, this is an interesting – there's an interesting sidebar story to this, but I don't like it when guys hit it in the fairway, which I almost never do, and then they suffer for it. So if the fairways are soft and they end up with mud on their ball, that's to me isn't really fair to not let them do lift, clean, and place. It's a little silly to me. But the other thing is there's a you know, and sometimes they'll hit it in the fairway and land in a divot, which I'm in the fairway so rarely that almost never happens. Plus, I hit it way behind the guys that are good. So there's actually a local rule up at Payne Stewart's course in Branson that if you land in a divot, it was like one of his pet peeves, I guess, when he was playing, and so you get to within a club length move your ball out of the divot. Which seems fair to me. I like that.
Sure.
Why should you suffer for hitting a good shot? So we've got a break on us. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and then I'm not sure exactly when Senator Pryor will be here, but we'll look forward to seeing him whenever he rolls in. And
yeah, we have some clips.
We have a bunch of clips we're going to play. Yeah, some
talk Razorback sports.
Also, NBA Finals, Game 4. It is extremely important for the Miami Heat. And I don't know if they have to win tonight, but they certainly would like to play a lot better than they did the other night when they got smacked around. As we head into the break, we are going to this is probably the last time we mention hockey before the end of the show. But, man, what a game last night. Game 1 of the NHL Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals. It's something that I don't pay a lot of attention to.
Well, I don't usually sit and watch hockey.
No,
but we did.
By not usually, you mean never, ever, ever.
Okay,
ever.
Yeah.
But we both were so compelled by it last night. It's sort of like playoff baseball when one run can make all the difference. One goal was all it took last night, but it took three overtimes to get it. Your Chicago Blackhawks take a one-zip lead over the Boston Bruins last night in dramatic fashion. We'll play that highlight as we head into the break, and we'll be back in just a moment from the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History in Fayetteville in this book-filled building called a library. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 We're up all night to get lucky.
This is SportsCenter.
The Stanley Cup Finals are underway, and the Blackhawks have an epic finish.
Russell off on the right point. Fire. He scores! Hawks win! And triple overtime! Michael Russell!
It took three overtimes, but in the end, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Boston Bruins 4-3 in triple overtime. To the NBA just a couple weeks after Jason.